that eighth verse, we're not going to back up into that. The ninth verse, the eighth verse says, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure, for they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. This word here, have hired, in this verse, it means that they've sold themselves. In the 10th verse, too, he says, yea, though they have hired among the nations. That means that they have sold themselves among the nations. And they did this by wanting what the other nations had. So they sold themselves. The Lord wanted them to be alone, a nation that was alone and not mingle with the other nations. He says, yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. He's going to gather them, and his gathering will be for judgment. This is what we're looking forward to now in this book of Hosea. This happened in a local time, but it's over in 735 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar came in, but this is looking to the future, and that's what really is the Lord is using it to speak to my heart in a greater way. It's future. In the local fulfillment, the king of princes there was Nebuchadnezzar. And when he carried them into Babylon, their independence was taken away. And they were made subject to their enemies for a while. During that, the Holocaust, during World War II, their enemies just took advantage of them. Killed them whatever they wanted to do in those ovens. But this is a gathering, as we said, for the future. Let's look at Joel 3 in the second verse. That's where we're right now. We're right here at that time. And we see the nations gathering over there. Joel 2, God's word is not something just to be read through and forgotten. A lot of people read it and they can't understand it, so they put it off. But the Lord made it possible for us to understand this word. Joel 3, and let's start with the first verse. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, every nation, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine. They just used them. This is what the nations did to Israel. They used them in whatever way they wanted to use them. They made slaves out of them. There was a little maiden that was a slave to, can't think of his name now. To who?
Naaman.
I believe it was Naaman, yes. I believe it was, when he told them to go down and wash. I can't remember that. But anyway, they made slaves out of all of these children. And all these nations, these Jewish children, became slaves. They separated them from their parents. They suffered a lot. Over in Zephaniah, let's turn over there, the third chapter and the eighth verse, right before Haggai, if you can find Haggai. Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. Now notice what he says here. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. It's not going to be a local thing in Israel. It's going to be all over the world. And if these young children cannot understand this today, I pray the Lord will open their hearts and their eyes and their understanding and awake them to their need of learning the word. They need to learn the word. And I thank the Lord for some that are. Thank the Lord. This is one of the curses. God warned Israel about this. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28:36. We'll be reading several out of Deuteronomy tonight. Deuteronomy 28 and the 36th verse. In this book of Deuteronomy, the Lord gave Israel the blessings that they would have if they obeyed him. And then he details the curses in detail. He tells them about the curses that will come upon them if they disobey. And this is one of the curses. Deuteronomy 28 and the 36th verse. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And I'm going to read that 37th. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And that is a curse. That is what has been fulfilled upon the nation Israel because they rejected his son. They did not accept him. They didn't obey God. Back here in the Old Testament, they didn't obey him. And all of this is coming, came upon them, and it will come upon them again. We suffer with them because when those people stood there and they said back in Jesus' day, let his blood be upon us and our children, they didn't know what they said. They said it in ignorance. They didn't realize the depth of what they said. So this is, back then they were carried into all the nations all over the world. And then in this 11th verse in Hosea 8, he says, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, Israel shall be unto him to sin. Remember when Jeroboam went up to the 10 tribes, went north, separated from the two. He had an altar at Bethel and another one, I believe it was at Dan. And he told them, though, they don't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship now. You can worship at these altars. There's only one altar, and that's Christ. And that altar was inside that tabernacle. And that was him. But he told them, well, you don't have to. This was in direct opposition to the Lord's command. Ephraim made many altars, and these altars shall be unto him to sin. They became a way to sin because they weren't worshiping the Lord. They were worshiping the idols. Again, let's go over to Deuteronomy. You may want to keep a marker there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 12. Marvelous how God fulfilled every bit of scripture. He didn't write this, as we said, just to be writing words. This is the living word of God. And every bit of this is going to be fulfilled, every jot and tittle. There's nothing going to be left that hasn't been fulfilled. Every bit of this is being fulfilled right before our eyes today. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6. But he says, well, we better start up above in this first verse. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. He told them exactly what to do. Upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, break down their pillars, burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. We're not going to read anymore. Let's go skip down the 12th verse. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Remember, he wasn't given land, but he was to get the tithe and the offering from the other tribes. But in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of the tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. He meant this. He meant for them to obey him. And it isn't really hard to obey the Lord. In fact, it's one of the most precious things that we can do is obey the Lord. These altars became many altars. They became many altars, and they became, as we said, a way for them to sin. They became an excuse to celebrate. You know what they do now in this country, they don't celebrate the birth of Jesus anymore. They celebrate, I don't know what they celebrate, the holiday or whatever. This is what they were doing there. This nation's doing the very same thing. It isn't Jesus they gather together to honor. They gather together to honor their own business or their own whatever they've got, their own idol that they have made, that they have built up, that they have a business, whatever it may be. This is their idol. This is what Israel had. Let's go to Proverbs, the first chapter. It's just a repeat of what this nation Israel went through. This nation here is going through the same thing. Proverbs 1, and I want to start verse 30. This is what Ephraim did, and later the two tribes did the same thing, and the world, mankind, is doing the same thing today. These studies in Proverbs, I just really did enjoy them. All right, 1 and the 30th verse. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity or the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Don't you love that verse? I like that verse. That's a precious verse. Praise the Lord. So they wanted to celebrate. They were gluttony. They were gluttonous, and they became drunkards. And instead of using the altar God gave for a place of worship and a place of forgiveness of sins, they used these altars to sin more. And that's what's going on in this nation here today. All right, the 12th verse of Hosea. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. How many of God's people read the word and count it strange? I don't understand this. Well, you don't have to stay there. We can understand it, can't we? The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to open up the word to our hearts. In his love for Israel, God wrote the great things of my law to guide them in every step of their life, in every area of their life. But they willfully disregarded them as they thought they didn't apply to them. How, man, today, same thing again. They were more concerned as to how much profit they could get from the eating of the sacrifice. And they ignored God's word and they scoffed at it. When they brought those sacrifices and ate of it, they charged the people for them to offer those sacrifices upon those idol altars. They were making money, and we have the same thing today. During the reign of Josiah, and I want to read this, you know, in 2 Kings 22, let's go over to there. When they counted the word as a strange thing, this is what this scripture is very precious with this. 2 Kings 22. This was during Josiah's reign, and I want to read down here a ways. Let's start at verse 8, that Josiah was just 8 years old. His name means whom Jehovah heals, and he was a godly king. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of David his father. He turned in the second verse, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And he began to build again the places of worship. The 8th verse. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He hadn't heard this. Remember, they had wandered clear away. They didn't read the word. They didn't hear the word. They left it alone. And this became a strange thing to them. That's why this scripture here is so important. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Can't you just see the nation Israel? When God wakes them up, and a godly one will come in their midst, which they're there now, there are believers in Israel. They're going to go through some terrible things. Now, this is right at the door. That's why I'm saying these scriptures are here. The fulfillment are here right now. They're going to find the word, and the Lord's going to begin to open up to them what this really means. Well, this is why this is happening to us. It's going to be a wonderful day. So they go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Do you know one reason why the young people today are so godless? It's because their parents weren't godly people. They're running all over. They're getting into trouble everywhere. It's because their parents did not teach them the godly ways. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of his book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim, and Akbar, and Shaphan, and Azariah went into Huldah the prophetess. And I didn't look up her name, so maybe someone has it. Went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva. Tikva means hope or expectation. The son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, or in the second quarter, I have in my margin, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, that is Josiah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. And I love the meaning of this word tender. It means it feels every hurt. You know, this is where the Lord brings us, that we have a tender heart. We don't want others to be hurt. We don't want other God's people to go through the judgments. And we're hurt because they're not yielding to God today. This is what the Lord wants. Because that thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. His ear is ever open, isn't it? Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. That dear young man, thank the Lord, he was godly. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is how today God's word is to many. It is foreign. It is strange. Romans 1:28 says, they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't like to think about him. They don't like to retain him in their knowledge. I'm going to read some scriptures regarding this, because this is a serious thing. The enemy wants us to get our mind on anything else but the word of God. I'm going to read some scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 65:2. You can get together with, if your natural family gets together, you can talk about anything else but the word of God. That's a no-no to many families. Others don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Isaiah 65 in the second verse. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. They have their own thoughts. They don't want to listen to what God thinks, and what he's going to do is after their own thoughts. Let's go to Psalms the 10th Psalm. These scriptures are precious, so precious to my heart. To think as he thinks. This is what he wants. He wants our thoughts to become like his thoughts and our ways like his ways. He wants to change us. And the only way we can be changed is through this word of God and allowing it to work in our lives. That's the only way we can be changed. Psalms 10 and the 4th verse. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek or return, is in my margin, or the down below. He saith he will not require it after God, or he will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In my margin, it says, all his thoughts are, there is no God. That's what his thoughts are. There won't be anybody to judge me for what I'm doing, but there is. Then in Psalms 56:5, they'll wake up one of these days and realize God means what he says. Psalms 56 and the 5th verse. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. David speaking here. He went through a lot. They were watching him to kill him. But this 5th verse is what we wanted. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. And this is what they went for the Lord too. Then in Psalms 94 and the 11th verse. Natural man. This is what God thinks of natural man. 94:11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. In the Hebrew, it means they're a breath. They could go any time. If the Lord takes our breath, we're gone. We can't breathe anymore. We can't live. This is that they are vanity. The thoughts of man don't mean a thing to him. I love these scriptures. In Genesis 6:5, I want to read this one. It's what God, Genesis 6:5. And God, this is right before the flood. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, evil continually. It was obnoxious to him, this evil. It was wrong, many meanings we have there. All of these here that we read speak of the fleshly mind. The fleshly mind that cannot and will not obey God's word. The natural mind, it cannot and it will not obey God's word. We have the same old man. That's why we have to count him dead and that we listen and walk in the new creation. Now let's read about some of God's thoughts. Stay in Psalms and let's read 92 in the 5th verse. This is what God has for us. We have to divide. We have to allow the Lord to separate us. That scripture in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit, the soul and the spirit. How can no one can do that but God? The joints and the marrow, what's the rest of it? The joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Only this word will do that. Only this word. Psalms 92:5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Do we want to know what his thoughts are? Right here, we can understand what they are. 139th Psalm. This is a precious psalm. 139 and verse 17. What do we think about during the daytime? Are our thoughts thinking, are we thinking of him? I think of this a lot. Psalms 139 and verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me. Each one of us, his thoughts are precious for us. He wants us to understand them. In the 23rd verse, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. These thoughts here are the cares or the anxious thoughts. No, you know what they are. Try me and know my thoughts, these anxious cares that I carry around. Search me and know me. I love these scriptures. In Proverbs 1:25, this is what man is doing today. Let's go over there again. Proverbs 1:25. Well, let's read the 24th. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and will none of my reproof. Then he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. See, this is what God, he's a God of vengeance. If we don't yield to him, he will take vengeance. I love these scriptures. But this is what man is doing today. He cannot and he will not understand God's ways until the Lord changes his heart. He lets God change his heart. That's what has to be changed. It's down in that very recesses of our heart. Things with it we don't know are down there. The Lord has to bring them up. But the only way they can come up is by reading this word and studying it and letting that word get down there and just pull up things that we need to understand are there. Precious word. All right, back to Hosea in the 13th verse. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings. God doesn't like this. And they eat it. It's his sacrifices. And they take it. And they use it for their own gain. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. This is quite a verse. Ephraim was sacrificing my gifts or mine offerings. They weren't acceptable as they were offered by a people who were unrepentant and they were corrupted. These people didn't believe in God. They wouldn't listen to him. They became corrupt in their ways. They were unclean. Remember when we were studying Numbers in the 19th chapter? When one of them was unclean, they had to wash in the ashes of the heifer, the red heifer. This is what we have to wash in, or else we will be unclean. And they didn't do that. But they had to appear at his altar clean. The Lord accepted them not. All the religious services and gifts are made for the gratification of man's flesh. Religion is not spirituality. Religion is something that man has made. There's error in religion. They go their own way. They want to believe what they want to believe instead of the Word of God. Christ is not their head. They don't look to him for direction. There's many ways in which the Lord can be our head. It's not only in religious organizations, but it can be with us. We can commit spiritual fornication by listening to our old man instead of the Lord. Now this is serious with the Lord because we're taking him for our head instead of Christ. We're not counting our old man dead, in other words, and we're listening to him instead of the Lord. These are serious things and they're wonderful. Wonderful truths that the Lord has made it possible that we can live and walk as a new creation. Praise the Lord. All right, in this 13th verse, he says, and now will he remember their iniquity. Now God will begin to judge them. His flesh shall be, in Galatians, we wrote down this scripture, in Galatians 6:8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. That's all we'll reap. And in chapter 9 here of Hosea and the 9th verse, he says, they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity, and he will visit their sins. We've got a lot ahead of us in this book. He said, they will return to Egypt. Now, this is in fulfillment of the curse for disobedience. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. See, this too was included in that curse. If they didn't obey, God told them exactly what would happen. When he gave them that land, 28 and verse 68. This is when the part of the curses for not obeying the Lord for this nation Israel. Deuteronomy 28:68, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. This is a state Israel is bringing themselves into again. And this is the way they were when they were scattered all over the world. They were all over the world. They were scattered because they turned their backs upon the Lord. It was their fate for their callous disregard for God. Callousness, the hardness of the heart, is a terrible thing. They will be and were in bondage. In chapter 7:16 of Hosea, we read, "They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." When they go back again, God delivered them out of Egypt when he released them back in under Moses. And he didn't want them to go back, but some of them yearned to go back into the world. And God delivers us from something. We should thank the Lord, I'll tell you. We should thank the Lord. All right, this 14th verse. He's brought us out into a large place. We've got riches and glory that we can never, never, never fully understand while we're down here. When we get there, and I wrote a letter this other day, I don't know, a day or two ago, about what's before us. Now we just understand just very, very little. Just very little. But when he takes away that veil and those that mirror that's dark and we can't see fully now, oh, what we're going to understand is going to be beyond our comprehension. Nothing here is worth hanging on to. I don't care what it is. If it's anything that keeps us from getting into the Word and studying the Word, there are things that we think, well, that's all right. But if it keeps us from getting into the Word, that's wrong. If it comes between us and the Lord, it becomes an idol. We put it ahead of the Lord. I thank the Lord for the day that we sold our cattle. I thank the Lord for it. There are a lot of things I can thank the Lord for. We sold part of the land, too, because we can't care for it. We don't want it. 14th verse of Hosea 8. "For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." What have they done today? Have you seen those big walls they've built around Israel in some of their divisions? Those tall walls right here. Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, and I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. They have forgotten his Maker. Again, this is one of the curses. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 32:18. This book of Deuteronomy is a very useful book, I'll tell you. Wonderful things in this book. 32:18. Let's start with the 15th. This speaks of Israel. Jeshurun in the 15th verse, speaking of Israel. They waxed fat. They got a lot of material things. They waxed fat and they kicked. You know, when you get plenty of material things, you don't think you need the Lord sometimes. "Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou hast covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, to the spoiler, to the destroyer, to Satan himself, and not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not." Oh, we can see this happening in this world today. New gods are springing up everywhere. And people are just being made slaves to some of these gods. "Of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed me. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters." It's quite a verse. This word forgotten here in verse 14 of Hosea, it means to be oblivious of, from want of memory or attention. They were oblivious to the fact that God was their Maker. They didn't. They thought they were their own Maker, that they made themselves. That's what God, many people think this today. For they were oblivious from want of a memory or attention. It was as though he did not exist. He was not in their thoughts. How many are running around the world today acting like, well, God doesn't exist. I can just do what I want to do. That's what man's doing. Exactly what man's doing today. But they're going to be held accountable before God. They built temples to idols and they fortified their cities, thinking they could defend themselves and worship him in these temples or these palaces. Then they were given the idea of bigness or spaciousness. What do we see today? Some of these huge churches that are being built, thousands and thousands of people coming into these places. We've seen them. She tried to compensate her need of him by these big things to take his place. We can't do that. We can't do that. God delights in small things. He doesn't delight in big things. So he says, I will send a fire upon his cities. Let's go over to Amos. Amos 1 and the 4th verse. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Hazael, the meaning of it means the scene of God or son of the shower. A lot going on today that isn't spiritual. In the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse of Hosea. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now, before we close this chapter, let's go over to Isaiah, the 64th chapter. This is the prayer of the believing remnant. When they come to the end of the 7 years of tribulation, and dear ones, this is coming. It's coming fast, fast, fast. We can't emphasize this enough. If we want to be in the bride, now's the time to get ready. That bridal company is going to be taken out, and all these judgments these nations are forming right now today. They're forming over there in the Middle East for one purpose, and that's to get rid of Israel. For one reason. Why else would they go over there? God tells us in his word. Let's read this 24th. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, in the first verse, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. All the nations are going to be over there. Every nation is going to have someone over there. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. They didn't look for him to come like he's going to come. Thou camest down and the mountains flowed or shook down at thy presence. You know, during the tribulation, the earthquakes and the shaking of everything. Read Revelation again, all those judgments that are going to come. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear. Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all an unclean thing, this remnant admitting, asking forgiveness. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. How man doesn't want him, God to stir him up. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want the word to speak to his heart. He'll push it away today. He'll turn it off if it's on the radio or on the TV. He'll turn it off. He doesn't want to hear it because it will stir up his heart, his conscience. So they need to be thankful God wants to do it. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Man today thinks he's a self-made man. Doesn't realize he's just a clay pot. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Oh, this remnant. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. That's what it's going to look like after the 7 years of tribulation. They're not going to build that temple that Ezekiel speaks about till after the 7 years. They can't. It would be completely destroyed. But Ezekiel talks about a temple, a millennial temple, and that's going to be built, but not after until after the 7 years. 11th verse, our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised thee is burned up with fire, see? And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? He did, and he will again. When they went into Israel back in the Nebuchadnezzar's day, they burned everything. They took all the treasures. They tore them out of the temple, that Solomon's temple. The gold and everything, they took it and they carried it into Babylon. They just tore it apart. Whatever was they thought was valuable, they took. But it's going to happen again. And that's what's so sad. But it's coming. God says it. All right. I want to just get a little introduction into this ninth chapter tonight. We're not going to go into it very far, just probably the first verse. This ninth chapter is concerning the days of visitation that are come. The first verse says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor." That's what they're after today. Now, in this chapter, God rebukes a wayward and a sinning Israel. And the several features of this terrible coming judgment are in this chapter. And I want to give us the division of the features of this judgment. In verses 1 and 2, we have the death of joy. The new wine and all that because they went a-whoring. It's the death of joy. In verses 3 to 6, he talks about the exile from their land. And this is after God gave them that land, and they didn't obey him. They took the gods of all these ites that were there and began to worship them. Verses 7 to 9 is we have the loss of spiritual discernment. And this, to me, is the saddest of all, to not have spiritual discernment. Paul says in Corinthians, "He that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man." When we're spiritual and we take in the word and let that word make us spiritual, we can discern when a person doesn't want the things of God. Then verses 10 to 16, it's a declining birth rate. A declining birth rate.